Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. My number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can call in, give us your opinion, give us your comments about the world of sports. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son.
Great, great. Sounds good to hear you. So let's talk really quickly about week three in the NFL. I want to start off with the Patriots and Texans. The Patriots won 27-0 over a what everybody was calling an improved Texans team with their quarterback and their defense and all this stuff. But the plain truth is I personally don't ever want to hear the words Houston Texans and contender for the rest of my life, because it's simply not going to be that way, I think. They were facing a third-string quarterback. At this point, you can say it's the system in New England. One falls down, the next one comes back up. Yes, Brady is some kind of wonderful, but it just seems they can plug anybody in. And, you know, not to skip ahead too far, but they're already talking about Julian Edelman going in for week four. But there's just something going on in New England, and I don't like it personally.
You know, it's Belichick shutting down what you do best, and then seeing if you can have a plan B.
And that most of these teams don't have a plan B. It's all just, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then, oh, that doesn't work. What are we going to do now?
Yeah, well, it was Brissett complete game management there. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but gets the job done.
Yeah, he runs for a touchdown, too, and two very, very costly special team fumbles by the Texans on kickoffs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the turnover battle, and it really that really came true in this game.
Well, if we've been talking about the strategy with the new rule where these guys do what they're dubbing the mortar kick, high but not in the end zone, and then, of course, special teams are a problem early in the year, every year, it seems, young players, people making ridiculous mistakes, not holding on to the ball.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's special teamers are ones who just make the team. That's, you know, they're the 51st, 52nd, and 53rd players, basically.
And they're trying too hard to make an impression.
They are. And in that game, on the first special teams turnover, I think it was James, 31, whoever the kick returner was, he was in the end zone. His feet were in the end zone. He could have just taken one step back, taken the knee, but he decided to run it out. At his best, he would have gotten it out to maybe the 18. So they lost yards on that, plus the ball.
Well, yeah, and of course the Texans are, I think you've dubbed them in the past to be Patriots light.
Oh my goodness, Bill O'Brien, former offensive, or at least quarterbacks coach, I know that, he might have been offensive coordinator. Romeo Crennel is down there as well. I mean, just, and you, every coach who has come from Belichick directly has failed.
Well, when you leave New England, you don't go on to great things, it seems.
No.
Player or coach.
No, Mangini, Weiss, Josh McDaniel. Let's not forget, he was the Broncos coach for, what, a year or two? But Belichick, yeah, all these other coaching trees have, their fruit has come, and many of it has matured. You know, the Mike Holmgren tree, of course, everybody knows about the Bill Walsh tree, and even Belichick's mentor, Bill Parcells, he has given the NFL not only Belichick but also Tom Coughlin.
True.
Yeah, so there's that. Speaking of Bill Parcells and the Giants, to be specific, the Giants lost 29-27 to the Redskins in a big fourth quarter back-and-forth game. Josh Norman had Odell Beckham's number for early in the game, and then the second half, everything fell apart for him.
Well, Beckham needs to read that book about emotional intelligence, and that's something he doesn't have. And to see a guy get throw his helmet at the punt net, then gets the net hits him back.
That was very
funny. And then next thing you know, he's crying on his sideline. So this guy's a mess.
He is. The Broncos had a scare early on. The Bengals were up big, about like 17-3, 17-0. Two Jeremy Hill touchdowns, but the Broncos stormed back in the second half to win 29-17 on the road. The Bills came back from their loss of their offensive coordinator to beat up Arizona. Arizona does not look good right now. They were on the road, but still not looking good so far in this early season.
Well, their dependence on the long ball is really an Achilles heel for them.
Right.
You keep doing the same thing all the time, and these defenses will find a way to stop you.
I know, and it's, you know, having such a breakout year from David Johnson last year, everybody's expecting big things from him, but it's almost like they're using him once up. If he only gets like 3 yards on a first down, it's like, oh, no, he didn't get enough. We need to go back to the pass.
Well, you know, it's like baseball teams that get hooked on the home run, and then they can't manufacture runs.
That's true. The Chiefs and the Jets, Arrowhead's a very tough place to play, but I didn't realize that Ryan Fitzpatrick would completely melt down and throw a career-high 6 interceptions. This is his four games since his, was it 4 or 5 interception game against the Bills in the final week 17 last year. Did not look good this week, but again, the Arrowhead Stadium's a very tough place to play in.
Well, I was shocked to see that graphic pop up that the Jets are 72 and 0 when they trailed by 14 on the road.
I'm not surprised in the least.
It was an amazing stat.
I'm not surprised in the least. So the less to talk about that, the better. The Rams and the Buccaneers. Rams got out to a big lead. Buccaneers started to storm back. And speaking of storm, a lightning storm occurred in Tampa Bay. The game didn't get over. They had to stop, take a rain delay or a lightning delay or a weather delay, whatever you want to call it, at the 2-minute warning. And the game didn't finish until the Sunday night game had started. I've seen one or two games be canceled, like stopped and canceled because the rain or, you know, the weather was just too bad. But this was
This is football. I mean, what do you mean it's too bad? I never heard of such a thing. I don't know of anybody at a football game that's been struck by lightning. I don't know what this fear factor is. Is the NFL getting soft or are the lawyers sharp?
Oh, the lawyers are very sharp, absolutely. We cannot discount the many, many ways that a lawyer can figure out that you could be sued. Or sue you. So it's better just it's true. I mean, don't forget, this is the NFL.
Right.
You say Super Bowl, they knock on your door. So just to go along with that. And finally, from week 3 that I wanted to hit upon, the Eagles trampling the Steelers 34-3. Carson went, it's Wentzylvania now. That's what everybody's saying. The Battle of Pennsylvania went to the Eagles, and Carson Wentz continues his amazing early career highlights.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. Now, when does the league catch up to him? Week 4 or 5? Like, you know, I mean, after a while, you're going to have some film on this guy.
I'm picturing, like, week 8, because this seems
really?
Like... Look, I'm just saying, I'm looking around at what's happening around the league. I'm seeing Wentz and the Eagles, come on, totally underestimated. I think that he might have a couple more, and I think Doug Peterson as well. It's not just Wentz, it's the coaching staff now, because it's a quarterback-driven team now. But
they
found
a running back, it looks like, too.
They sure, yeah, absolutely.
Smallwood,
and they've got a good complementary receivers, Aguilar, and of course Matthews, and now Beckham Green. So I think that they might have a couple more tricks up their sleeve. I don't think it's going to be blowouts like this, but I think maybe in the next 2 to 3 weeks, there's going to be Wentz has to go for a game-winning drive, like something like 3 points or like a 4-point game.
Right.
I think that's when they'll be like, oh, we think we can stop him. Uh-oh. So I think by week eight, I think they might finally get up to him. So, but
I
yeah.
think when they play Minnesota, that's not too far away.
No, that's coming up soon. But yeah, Minnesota going on the road in Carolina, beating the Panthers 22-10.
Well, the story there is Bradford outplayed Newton.
He did.
And is Newton a front runner? Because when his team is behind, his head sags a little bit, and he's not rallying the troops. He's looking like he's feeling sorry for himself.
Well, I mean, I think a perfect example is that is the Super Bowl. In the pregame conferences, hey, no one's ever seen anybody like me. I'm going to put on a show.
Right.
Super Bowl happens, he gets criticized, and then it's shaking his head, sulking.
Well,
and then
when you wear an S on your shirt, you got a lot of living up to do.
Well, then you have to sulk away. The S is for sulk in some games. So now we have a couple of undefeated teams. The biggest, of course, right now, the big newsworthy ones are, of course, the Eagles and also the Ravens. Who's more for real, do you think, the Eagles or the Ravens?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind it's the Eagles. And I just look at that one stat I was looking at, that the opponents for the Ravens this year are 1-8 combined.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, beating the Steelers was a big deal.
Oh, absolutely, it was a big deal.
Now, of course, that's not divisional for them, but...
It's still big because it's nearby. It's something to talk about.
Oh, sure.
So let's look at week four. What are your best bets of the week?
Well, I'm doing horrible, so I'm dropping back. When you're making picks and you're not doing well, you've got to cut back the amount of picks and whatever amount you're betting. I'm going with Cincinnati this week, and that's it.
So Miami at Cincinnati, that's the Thursday night game, and Miami's getting...
Seven.
Yeah, Miami's getting seven. I think that's a good one. If you're going to pick any, I think that's a good one, especially if you're on a losing streak.
You're going to get down to basics. Prove you can win before you advance.
And Cincinnati has proved, aside from the Steeler game, and a lot of that can be weather related, they have been pretty competitive in these games, at least early on. Even though they're 1-2, that they're ones that, you know, you only get You only get bright spots and losses. Well, you know, they've had plenty of bright spots in these last 2 weeks. Okay, so you're going to go with Bengals at home Thursday night game.
There you go.
And so I want to quickly move over to baseball real quick. A very sad news of the passing of Jose Fernandez, a very noteworthy loss. Him and two other friends were in a boating accident, and just very sad. He was an amazing pitcher, and... it showed how much he meant not only to the city of Miami, but also to the Marlins family. They came out, they had to cancel the game the morning of his death, and then they came out and played in a really offensive game against the Mets, which of course hurt the Mets' playoff chances slightly, but still to see D. Gordon running around the bases crying, it was one of those more emotional sports moments you hear and see about.
It's shockingly sad, and you know, when you hear a boating accident, you think on the water, this and that, you really can't put a place to it, but then when you see the photograph, of all the rocks, and you just imagine the horror when that happens. It's shocking, and the fact that if they didn't change his start, he probably wouldn't have been there.
He was supposed to pitch Sunday, but in an effort to curb the Mets' playoff chances, the general manager and the coaches decided to move him back to Monday night's game. And, yeah, the guilt that they must be having, because had he been scheduled to pitch still on Sunday, he would not have been out at past midnight, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning on a boat. So I can only imagine, and, of course... Yeah, there's not much else to say in such a tragedy. So,
well, you know, you add youth and recklessness, and before you know it, you know, tragedy.
That's true. Well, unfortunately, I hate to end on a sad note, but we're running out of time. So, Dad, I'd like to thank you again this week for joining me.
Well, that's fine, son. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I'll see you next week. And, Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.